Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly Lord, with light and comfort. Be thou our God, and thou our God, for every thought and every sigh, for every thought and every sigh.
Bring your greetings this afternoon again in the name of Jesus, our risen Savior. Certainly some very valuable lessons taught. If you learn to be happy when you're young, it'd be a lot easier for you to be happy when you're older. This works that way. And, certainly, we don't want to grow up being grumpy. Brother Leon mentioned this morning about, I believe it was your first occasion to be here at 4th Avenue. I can't say that, but I do remember a number of years ago being here on a Sunday evening. There was a young person from Shade Mountain that brought us out here. And we were kind of running almost close to time. And we got here in the nick of time, I thought. Walked in at 7:30 and you were singing. Sat beside Lamar Sessing on the far corner. And after the song got done, I figured we're going to have devotions and everything else. And he nudged me and said, it's time to go. So, it's not the way I like to walk to the pulpit. That's the way I did that night. So I never forgot that. I don't know if any of you remember that or not. But anyway, we have a subject before us this afternoon that I think is very important that we think about. As we think about a biblical perspective, developing good work ethics in our children. You know, some people, work is a necessary evil, something that I have to do. You know, we can have to do work or we can want to do work. It's two sides of the coin. And I trust that this afternoon, as we look at this, that we can help to balance all of this with family life. Because there are valuable times in family life of working together as a family. But if you make times of your family working and you're not there and it's a time of drudgery for your family, there'll be some things that you'll have to reap because of that too. I think it's important that we make work interesting. And that we teach some principles while we're working. You have two extremes. You have those who are workaholics, and you have those who are lazy. How can we find the middle of that road? That we don't have to look at work as something that has to be done. To you children, the teacher this afternoon talked about a willing obedience, a wanting to obey your parents. And I trust that your parents are developing that in you. So where's the balance? I want to look at God's purpose for work, first of all. Let's go back, and I think we need to relay this to our children. To Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden, to dress it and to keep it. We need to help our children understand that work is part of God's plan. We're not sure what kind of work it was that was before the fall of man, but we do know that it was changed after the fall of man. In verse 17 of chapter 3, God said this, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. See here, Adam did not take the leadership role that he should have. But he listened to his wife. And hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And today, we still see the effects of the fall of man. That's why we constantly need to pull weeds in the garden and still be happy. And I know that, and I may get to this a little later, but I know that you can probably buy food cheaper than you can put it away. And we did some of that pricing when we were our family was growing up. But you know what? There are principles taught in the garden and in work at home that are hard to teach otherwise. There are some lessons learned. As you get older, the garden, we had a very big garden when our children were growing up, very large garden, and I think my children could tell you all about that. The rows were long and took a while to get things done. But as we worked together, it got done. And the weeds need to be pulled if we want quality plants. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, Chapter 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, and if thou would not work, neither should he eat. Now what about that, children? If we want something worthwhile to eat, we need to produce that. We need to help our children this afternoon connect between living and working. If we want something, we need to work for it. And I think God expects us to find satisfaction in our work. And I think our children need to learn that, to find satisfaction in our work. A farmer can't be negligent if he expects to yield a good production. You want food for the winter? You have to put it away in the summer. Society at large today lives one day at a time. They don't think about laying food up in the wintertime, in the summertime. And when winter comes, you know, when you're raising a family, it takes a lot of quarts of peaches, pickles, whatever. It takes a lot of corn put away. And there are times sometimes that we worked hard at late at night, finishing corn and things like that up. But we enjoyed the corn. We enjoy the foods that we put away. Our children need to learn that satisfaction in life. But society at large has not. They look for free handouts. If you looked at the news lines today, or just yesterday or the day before, the billions of dollars over the past decade that were sent out to people on Social Security, collecting Social Security on Social Security numbers of people that have died. Also the fact of China and Russia play into some of the things that happened in IRS. They are now discovering. That's the world. We need to teach our children that hard work is necessary if we expect to receive something for it. And I think that we can make hard work loving and enjoyable as we work together as a family, and as principles are taught, that we can relay to our children that will help them later on in life, and not to accept the free handouts. Fact still remains that if we want to eat and live, we must work. However, as we think about work, it is a benefit to the body, it is a benefit to the soul and spirit. Let's think about the benefit to the body, first of all. And we want to maintain good health, and so we want to eat healthy. It's good for us to keep us physically fit. We can't all work the same amount. As you get older, you will begin to realize that you can't do just everything that you used to do. And I know that from experience. But we need to engage in appropriate work. People have asked me already, well, what are you going to do when you retire? Well, the problem is I don't plan to retire. I plan to keep working as long as God gives me health and strength. I'll do what I can do. Yes, there's things that come along the way health-wise that kind of slow you down. But children, enjoy work and work while you can. But keep Christ first in your life. And as your parents are an example to you in that, you will learn that. So we need to engage in an appropriate work, depending on our age and our health, for our physical well-being. A person who sits down, retires from work, and does nothing but sit around, they usually don't last for long. So appreciate work. How does work benefit the soul? Think about the time that you went on a long trip. Your parents took you on a long trip. Finally, it was time to go home, and it never felt so good to be back home. There was no place like home. After a while, it feels good to come home and just get back to work. We learn to appreciate work. You know, there's a time in my life when I worked in an office for approximately 12 years, and there was a lot of mental stress there. In the purchasing world, that's what's involved. And it just felt good to come home with my family and to go out to that chicken house and work together. There was something there that just brought some satisfaction. Not that my work didn't, but there was a different kind of stress there. So no matter what we do with work, the work promotes mental and emotional health to be profitably employed. You know, work doesn't always involve making money. And I think that parents ought to think about that in having some chores for your children to do, in teaching them responsibility. Yes, you can go to the store and buy eggs cheaper than you can have a few chickens. And not everybody has room for that. And parents, we need to make sure the children are getting their work done completely. Do your children become restless and irritable at times? That's when you need to give them something to do and maybe do it with them. Weeding the garden or making the leaves, raking the leaves up. We all need work because it promotes mental and emotional health. Work also has a spiritual benefit. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15. I think we all know that verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I think that as we profitably work, it will help us in our spiritual life, in taking time with the word of God, taking time to study. This refers to spiritual exercises. But physical and spiritual diligence, I'm here to say this afternoon, I believe go hand in hand. You talk with a person who has a problem with a scheduled time for devotions and all of that. Are they undisciplined in their work habits? You will often find that on the spiritual side, that same problem is there. I'm not saying always, but you can always count on a person who is not diligent in their work to find a difficulty in their spiritual habits. They oftentimes seem to go hand in hand. So we work to provide for our families, and not only for our families, but to reach out beyond our homes. We're not going to go there, but I happen to think of the woman in Proverbs 31. Her influence reached beyond the home. Do those things with your children, with your family. But you work to provide for those in need. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Fathers, very sobering responsibility. Young men, a very sobering responsibility that you need to think about before marriage. That you are being called to be a provider for your spouse and for your family that God may bless you with. We need to thank God for the ability to work. And I think we ought to enjoy our work, fathers. And your children ought to see that enjoyment in you. And you need to involve your children in your work. They too then can in turn enjoy work and not look at it as a drudgery. Sure, I didn't like to pull weeds in the garden. I didn't like to pick peas either, but you know what? I had a mother, I picked peas anyway. And I pulled weeds in the garden. I remember one day I and my brothers growing up in our home. We had one of the old cage houses that came first. And we were just young at the time. I think my father built that when I was 12. And we had to sweep those concrete aisles every day, 280 feet long, five aisles like that. So we took turns. And one day we were arguing whose turn it was. My mother finally looked at me and said, "Son, someday you'll learn what it is to take turns." And you know what? I went and swept those four. Just lend a helping hand, children. Parents, can we drill that in them, no matter whose turn it was, and supply food and shelter and care for families and others beyond your home? There's always those among us who struggle financially. There's always those among us who struggle to provide for families. And it becomes our responsibility to help to provide. On the way out here, I wasn't sure what to do. We stopped at on Friday night. We stopped at 1 o'clock Saturday morning to sleep for the night. Tried to find a cheap motel. It's a pretty low-down place. We ended up not staying there. But in the parking lot, a man came to us at 1 o'clock in the morning, and he wanted food for his family. So I talked with him for a while, and his family was there. I said, "Well, you're not going to go buy a drink with this, are you? You're not going to buy tobacco products or anything?" "Nope, I won't. So we gave him a little money. I don't usually do that, but at 1 o'clock in the morning I did. I don't know why God led us into that place, but it might have been just to leave a little light there with that gentleman. And I hope it did. May we use godly wisdom to share with those in need. And that our children will grasp the concept. Providing for your families does not mean that you give your children everything they want. I think I might have mentioned that in the sermon this morning a little bit. We know that things do not bring happiness. A child can have as much fun with a disc behind a tractor that is made up of thread spools and wire going through it as anything else. I'm not saying it's wrong to buy toys, but we need to be careful. You get in some homes sometimes and there's that many toys that you wonder. Then to see the children still squabble. Let's teach children contentment. You know how you do that? By finding contentment yourself. Whether you're just a young person today, or whether you're a parent, teach your children contentment. It is so important. Teach contentment with what they have, even if we could afford something new. You always go buy something new, and I'm going to tell you right now, your children are going to grow up with that concept. And they're going to grow up the wanting to have the, and I've seen it happen in homes, where parents could afford it. They bought everything they wanted. And you're going to have children growing up, and this is actual happening, so you're going to have a young couple getting married, and they're going to have things like, I can't imagine having a robot sweeper runs around the furniture. You know, those kind of things. Let's be careful what principles we're teaching. Maybe you can afford a brand new tractor, and I'm not saying it's wrong to buy a brand new tractor. But depending what you use it for. But just, you know, be careful to teach contentment. Now, let's also teach them the principle that we work so we can give. We talked a little bit about that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You teach your children as they grow up to share. Well, I've seen children that are real connivers, even my own. They wanted something that one of the other children had. They kind of worked out a deal. They brought something else, got them interested in that, and they went slipped off of the other. We have to be alert to those things. Children are going to do that. I don't care who you are. I remember Brother Jesse Nunswander telling me, or saying, making a statement that he had to realize that his children are made of the same stuff. Anybody else's children are, and so are yours. No matter who we are. My child would never do that. When I hear parents say that, it tells me there's trouble. Every time. It always works that way. You need to teach your children the principle of getting their eyes off of themselves and look on the needs of others and what can I do to make someone else happy? What can I do to meet the needs of someone else? Look beyond. Get your eyes off of yourself and you're going to be a very happy person. Also, we need to teach our children that we work to be a faithful testimony to the world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. You know how you teach your children that? By being that example yourself. We need to teach them that honesty is very important. God places a very high value on honesty. And God hates lying. God hates deception. And these are principles that we must teach our children. Work honestly with what you can and with what you have. Do today what you can, and tomorrow will take care of itself. God will give you what you need. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Busybodies. Tattlers, gossipers, because they're not productive, they're not busy. Mother or father sits on the phone all day and gets no work done. That's how their children are going to go. Yes, phones are a wonderful thing, but let's not misuse them. Walking dishonestly is the negative side. Our children will see that in you and your work. If you're dishonest, they'll see that very clearly. They'll see you becoming busybodies in other people's matters. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 to 34. And I believe this paints a picture to us here. Proverbs chapter 24. And I want to look at verses 30 to 34. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and needles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. Well, I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep and a little slumber. A little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and why want as an armed man, and thy want as an armed man. See the picture? There's a very vivid picture there. Paints a picture of how slothfulness and laziness affects our testimony by letting our places run down. Yes, we don't have to have the prettiest place in the country. But I do believe it is important. It doesn't cost anything to pull weeds. It doesn't cost a whole lot to weed eat. And keep things mowed up and keep things attractive. But neither do we have to have the fanciest landscapes. Or the fanciest houses and the latest equipment. Laziness
belongs not to the Christian. We must be diligent.
He leaves a poor witness to the world. And the extreme, as I mentioned, is immaculate places and buildings. Keep neat and clean what you have. My parents didn't have a whole lot of money in their growing up years, but we were happy. We tried to be happy. And don't look around at other people who have everything that they want, seem to want. But be content with what you have. Now I want to look yet at some biblical rules for work. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. And he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. With a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. I think we need to teach our children that diligence at work is what's going to bring good results. It's going to bring satisfying results. To teach them to diligently work. We start at the end of that 300-foot row of peas, the wheat. We can get to the other end, we can straighten up and just look with satisfaction that it's nice and clean. Now the peas can grow better. Help them see the importance of all of that. In Proverbs 27, verse 23, you need to teach your children to stick at it and not half finish something and run on to something else. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. Your parents ever go away, children, and young people, and they've asked you to have certain things done, they get home. And so you think you've got plenty of time, and all of a sudden the time comes, and they arrive home, and it's not done. As parents, you need to teach the value of being accountable for what you're asked to do. As parents, you need to take the responsibility, not assigning more responsibility than what, depending on the age of the child. I've known parents who expected a lot of their children and too much. And also in Ecclesiastes 9:10, next, right after Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where thou goest. Learn to enjoy work and appreciate it. And we will teach our children that by doing that ourselves. By enjoying work. Diligence goes hand in hand with self-discipline. Getting up in time in the morning. Teach your children that when it's time to get up, it's time to get up. No. I remember Brother Bishop Isaac Sesnick, some of you know him, some of you probably don't, making the statement he didn't think that children's alarms clock or anybody's alarms clock should ever have snooze buttons. You jump out of bed. See, so what that snooze button does, it produces something within you. And, wow, got another 10 minutes. You hit the button. Goes again, you whip it again, goes again. We don't learn discipline. I think we need to teach our children that, getting up in time. Going to work on time. Getting there on time. It's hard for your employer to schedule things when you just can never get there on time. And you come rolling in 10 or 15 minutes late. Place where I work, if you were 1 minute after 7, you didn't get paid till 7:15. If you were 7:16, you didn't get paid till 7:30. That's the way it was. It's owned by an older Mennonite man. But they were very strict on it. And there was no getting around it.
learn to do things on time. And you learn that as little children, as you're growing up. But mother says, Johnny, go take this slop of stuff out in the woods. And so you stay sitting and you keep reading your book. See what happens? You don't learn discipline. Jump up and do it right away. Even go beyond what you're asked to do. Maybe dad told you to sweep the barn out and you know that upstairs there's a lot of loose hay that needs to be cleaned up too. Go do it. And I think parents, we need to give recognition to our children when they go beyond what they're asked to do. Be alert to those things. I'm not telling you all this this afternoon because I've done everything right. Absolutely not. Sometimes it'd be nice enough to think about the message tonight that Leon talked about, the second chance. God didn't give us that. It'd be nice if we just could have done everything right. Everything would have just turned out nice. But we learn from mistakes. And can we help others learn as they go through life in those stages? Now, these things at work do not make us more godly, but go a long way in helping us to maintain a godly character. In contrast, laziness and idleness are a very great hindrance to us in life. You know what? Young people, and all of us as parents and children, the Bible doesn't say it in these words, but idleness is the devil's workshop. I remember Dewey Miller teaching Sunday school at Valley View one Sunday. And Isaac Santee was sitting on the front bench. And Dewey quoted this and he said, idleness is the devil's workshop. But Isaac said, the Bible doesn't say it. Dewey said, the fact remains, it is. It is the devil's workshop. And Isaac would have agreed with that too. We want to make a point. So appreciate that you have things to do. Parents, reward your children when they're growing up and they have projects and they do work well. I think there's a place to reward them for all of that. Reward them with little various things can be used. Maybe a little money that they save up because of a job well done. Take time to recognize the jobs your children do and do well. Never be in such a hurry that you never recognize the good that they've done. When you don't take time to do that, you're going to lose some communication with them that you're going to regret when they're teenagers, as the message relates to tonight. And I believe that the purpose of the principle that God created in the beginning to work 6 out of 7 needs to be taught. And I believe the principle has been lost over the years somewhat, to prepare on Saturday to prepare for lighter work on Sunday. Because in the New Testament, we started worshiping the first day of the week, because after Christ was resurrected, we now worship the Lord Jesus on the first day of the week. We need to teach them that principle. This was God's plan from the beginning. I remember a man saying when they used to farm with horses, they would make sure that by Saturday noontime they were getting things put away, they were getting more hay down for Sunday for the cows. I know we all have automatic equipment today and they hit the buttons and things go unless it breaks. And that does happen on a Sunday sometimes. I remember one Sunday morning going to the chicken house and my boys, and we walked up there, and it was an ultra flow, short-time ultra-flow feeder, and the joint opened up, and the spiral was all over the chicken house on a big heap. Well, that called for a full day of Sunday work, most of the day, because we did need to feed the chickens. So there are those things that happen. There are those emergencies that happen. And I believe we need to teach our children that the purpose of this rest is to provide refreshment for ourselves, where we can lay aside the business affairs of this world, and we can gather together like this and worship the Lord. It's not just talking about a physical rest. It's not talking about sleeping in church.
to get to catch up when you're needed rest because you work till 10 or 11 o'clock Saturday night. But show to your children the importance of the Lord's Day. This shows God's care for all of us, for us and all creation. I remember another thing that comes to my mind now, and my boys could tell you that story. But on Saturday mornings, to get them out of bed early enough to go to the chicken house, they knew they were going to get rewarded an egg sandwich from town from the local shop there. They were very quiet not to wake mother up, and they hurried off to the chicken house. That was, they often talk about that. They still enjoyed those sandwiches. There are little things we can do to make things interesting for them, like that, as they're growing up. The New Testament heir, as I mentioned before, was changed the first day of the week rather than the seventh day, in honor of Christ, who arose from the grave, who arose, who was resurrected, and in that power of that resurrection, we can still live the Christian life today as he lives within our heart. Keeping the Lord's Day still follows the principle of resting one day out of seven. And may it be a day where we find spiritual refreshment, where we're ready to go into the next week and serve the Lord. There's times during the week when, depending on our job, and I'm not sure the answer to all of that, depending on what our job is, there's certain times of the year, there's certain times of the week where we have to do a lot of pushing, it seems. I know that when I was growing up with my parents on the little farm, there seemed to be time where we would always congregate out in the yard and we'd talk about today's happenings and sit there in the summertime. And I felt like even in our farming years, it just seemed like we didn't have as much time to do that. It's a challenge. God will always bless those who put him first. We need to also teach our children to work with their hands. Whether we use a shovel or whether we sit behind a computer, but we work with our hands. And anything in between, the shovel and the computer. And there's a lot in between. Don't always expect your children to get everything for you. Fathers and mothers, get up and do a few things yourself too. Get things for them. Children, your children will bless you in all of that, and they will get things for you. You provide an example by doing and getting things for yourself. I've seen husbands who make slaves out of their family by serving them hand and foot. That should never be the case. 2 Thessalonians 3:12. Let's go to that one. Those things are called selfishness when we demand and expect everything to be served to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 12. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Work with quietness, as we read earlier. Work in a modest, unassuring manner. Work without causing a disturbing others, in contrast to being loud and pushy. Or Proverbs 27, verse 2 talks about boastfulness. You don't have to turn there. Next principle is this: work at things that are beneficial. How does your work benefit others? Help your children see in how it benefits others. Titus 3:14. I believe that our jobs and our working should benefit others. Titus chapter 3, verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works
for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful.
Think about our occupation. What are you teaching your children? Is it a benefit to society?
Is it beneficial to our family? And I believe it should be a benefit to society. Ecclesiastes 5:18. I believe we need to learn to work. It should bring enjoyment to us. And we should learn to even enjoy jobs that we don't necessarily be our first choosing.
I remember when we moved to the farm. I had a farm where I was also working away. I came from the purchasing office as a purchasing manager. And I moved northwest in Pennsylvania. And I needed something before I got my poultry barns up to kind of bring in some money for the family. And I was salaried where I was at, pretty much taken care of. And I remember my wife and I sitting in that living room wondering how we're going to meet ends together. But I went to a lumber yard stacking lumber off a green chain. If you know anything about green chains, you know how hard that is. An office man coming from the office is pretty tough on his wrists. Grabbing 12 and 14 foot boards to flip them over on a skid. Those were trying times in my life. Because it was very little pay compared to what I was used to getting. But you know, God taught us something through all of that. I knew that it was time for me to get out of that business world if I wanted to raise a family. Sometimes we have to take a job that is less than we want and still find contentment, still find enjoyment. We need to see the possibility, we need to see the gift of working as a gift from God. It is He who gives us health and strength. We're the one, He is the one who gives us the health. He is the sustainer of our life that we can work with our hands. Yes, we use our brains too. But that we can think and we can work. And when we can do that, when we're able to do that, we can experience the blessing. Thirdly, in the third part of the message, I want to look at the profit equals rewards for work. Profiting equals rewards for work. Number one, the ability to meet the present and future needs. We can then avoid this scenario, as we read in Proverbs, by diligently applying ourselves. We need to, of course, find a proper balance in preparing for the future, because we are to also reach beyond our homes in helping others. So a large need comes along and you have money laid aside for. A lot of medical needs, but yet it seems that we can still afford what we want. And maybe it's time, in the large medical needs that are out there right now, to lay aside some things that we'd like to have but could do without. And put that into play. God will bless you for that. And you will teach your children some lasting lessons. Number two, the blessing of working together as a family. During this time, we'll give you opportunities to teach and to counsel your children, to talk with your teenagers, to talk with your youth about things and what they're facing in church life, what they're facing in the world around them, the temptations that they're facing. And I trust that you fathers are having that close contact with your teenagers. And unless you do it when they're little, it's very hard to gain it when they're in their teenage years. It needs to start right from the cradle. Work should be that we have, that should be the knowledge that we have done what we could. Shortly before Jesus gave his life, Mary anointed him with the ointment that was worth 300 pence. And I understand that this was earnings that was of great value, as much as about what a year's wages is.
Would you be willing to give something like that?
For Jesus' sake. But you know what Jesus said about her? He said she has done what she could. And I want to challenge you with that thought this afternoon. Have you done what you could for your families and for the church
of Jesus Christ?
She was rebuked by others. But Jesus said she's done what she could. The words of Jesus, I'm sure, left a lasting impression on people's minds. It brought a great reward. Proverbs 13:11. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 11. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as a high wall in his own conceit. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. Before honor is humility. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly, and shame unto him. You know, as we appreciate work. I'm sorry, I think I wanted chapter 13, and I thought it didn't make quite sense. Chapter 13, verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that getteth by labor shall increase. There's the enjoyment. I mean, there's a greater appreciation for what we have. It builds that within us. We need to appreciate the work that we do, and I think God expects us to find satisfaction in that, even in the undesirable jobs of life. It tells us here that we think if we get things dishonestly, it also includes gaining money quickly and easy. There's a lot of quick, rich gimmies. Parents, may we never leave that impression in our children, that we run after those things that are quick, get rich. Winning the lottery. I trust and hope there's no one here this afternoon that runs after the lottery tickets. I can tell you stories of young men who, and especially one that I think of now, many years ago, got their father's farm for $1. But you know what? They lost it too. In bankruptcy and just down the tubes. You don't appreciate it when you get it for nothing. You really don't. When you gain it quickly. God's blessing is not on such wealth. I'm not saying it's wrong if it's passed on from generation to generation, but let's be careful that there's a cost there. There is a cost there. We don't do our children a favor by just giving them things on an easy street. I remember a minister from Canada was at our church one time, and he was at our place for a meal. I remember him giving a story of his son getting married, and it was easy credit. They bought a lot of new furniture, and payday was coming later. He said, I will help him out sometime, but he said, I'm going to let him struggle for a while. Because payday came, and the money wasn't there. And I'm sure he helped him out later on, but he was going to let him struggle for a while to learn a valuable lesson that he hadn't learned before. So may we appreciate what we have. In Ecclesiastes 5:12, we should enjoy what we have. The much greater reward of our labors here on earth will be eternal rest in heaven. Let's all keep that eternal rest in perspective and labor diligently to enter into it. In the next part of the message, I want to talk a little more about passing this on to the rising generation. Just very quickly. Fathers, I think it's important that as our children are growing up, depending on the age they are, that we give them responsibilities according to their age. Let them contribute their ideas. Let them share as they get older. And sometimes we need to do it their way and let them learn a valuable lesson. We might know it's not going to work. And it might cost us a few dollars. But let them learn a few lessons. Even known up in their teenage years. Discuss it with them. Share the possibilities of why you think it won't work. But then let them do it their way. And they will see a lesson they'll never forget. Again, depending on the age of the child, it makes a difference in the responsibility you lay upon them. Children like to feel valuable. Not inviting them to help in decisions and so forth, and letting them part of the family decisions, to a greater or lesser degree, depending on the age, we miss an opportunity to teach some principle. Secondly, you pass it on to the rising generation by making that work enjoyable. Show them how work is a contribution to living and family life. Make them more positive about chores, and that it's not a drudgery to go and feed the cat and the dog and take care of the pony and whatever else it may be. It's not a drudgery, but it's enjoyable. You know, when you tell your child to go water the flowers, and maybe they forget again and again, maybe you need to let some flowers die so you can teach them this is what happens. That's a hard thing, especially for a mother to do. Make to-do lists for your children. Hang it on the refrigerator. Put slips of paper in a jar, allowing them to choose chores depending on their age, is another suggestion. You can make it interesting for them. Throwing in incentives for a job well done, as I mentioned before, on the farm or in the business, wherever it is, put some incentives there. And the procrastination, there are penalties for that as well. Sometimes when your children are doing jobs and you know they're just not doing it quite right, reject the urge to step in and take over. I said before, let a few things happen and you'll be able to teach some principles. Not to their danger, of course. But sometimes when we just step in and take over the child, it feels like a failure. And it slinks off somewhere else. Because you can't do anything good enough anyway. Teach them that they are worth something and help them understand that. They have to realize that there are consequences for not applying yourself. Don't rub it in when they make mistakes. And don't bring it up in front of other people and embarrass them. Maybe your child will do something that will embarrass you sometime, and I'm sure they will. You know, when your first child goes to Sunday school, it lets a new window open in your home. Because they're going to go to Sunday school, well, my daddy said this. My mommy said this. And you're going to go, wow. Because you don't know what little Johnny's going to say next when he goes to Sunday school. Sit down and help them evaluate how not to make the same mistake again when they do make a mistake. I think that's very important. Talk about why the work is so important. Important to discuss the meaning and the purpose of work so that work does not become a drudgery. To create value and to serve other people. In the fourth place, my final point is this. Work teaches patience. In real life, I want to tell all of you, work is not always fun. But it needs to be done. It was one of the things on the farm that I didn't enjoy doing, and that was once a year when it came time to clean out the chicken houses. My children knew that when we went at it, we went at it. And it got done. But I gave them rewards for that. It's your choice to make it enjoyable, to raise your family, and to be happy. And maybe their job was a failure. But encourage them. Pick up and go on from there. May God bless you as parents this afternoon in helping your children as you endeavor to nurture a biblical work ethic in your children. May God bless you. Pray for the service this evening that the Lord would have his way. May God bless you. Shall we pray?
thank you for each one here today. Bless each one as they go home to their respective places. God be near to them as they work with their families. Bless the service tonight, Lord, that you would have your way, Lord. Dear God, I pray for guidance. And I pray, Lord, that as your word is spoken again this evening, that your name would be exalted. For we ask in Jesus' name.